Well, in the words of the very classic, ancient, very much ancient greeting, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. It's an ancient greeting. Now, the question might come is, when we come to this Easter vigil, it's dark out. We start with a fire. Why do we gather at night? Why do we start this vigil at night? Why don't we start this at our usual 5:30 Saturday evening Mass? I know there are some parishes that do that. They're not supposed to, but there are some parishes who do that. They do that at their normal time of the Saturday anticipatory Mass, the Mass anticipating Sunday. Well, we gather at night because the darkness of death gives way to the light of Christ. We see that symbolism most clearly when we are coming into the church, that this church is darkened. It's almost pitch black. It would be pitch black pretty much if it wasn't for the streetlights shining in. And as the light of Christ comes in the Easter candle and the candles that each one of you were carrying, the church brightens. Admittedly, I'm the one who gets to see it the most clearly because I come in when the church is the most dark and I get to see the light just gradually grow as more and more candles come into the church. And it becomes almost bright enough that we could read by the light of the candles that we are carrying. So we come in to see that symbolism of the dark of death being giving way to the light of Christ. But we also gather at night because our Lord rose from the dead early Sunday morning. We don't know what time our Lord rose from the dead. In fact, the Exultet says that long hymn which I recite at the beginning as we have come in here and the lights were turned on, and I recited that hymn, that Exultet, that hymn of praise to God for our Lord coming into the world. And it tells us that this is the night that knows when our Lord rose from the dead. And the resurrection of our Lord wasn't known until the sun rose the next morning. The disciples did not know that our Lord rose from the dead until the next morning. So it is at night that he rose from the dead. And we gather at night because we join the apostles and our Lord's disciples who waited in vigil throughout the Sabbath. If you remember from the Passion, which we read at Palm Sunday and again yesterday on Friday, the disciples wanted to get our Lord into the tomb before the Sabbath, and they were able to do that. And then they waited, as we see in our gospel tonight, until the next morning when they could go and anoint the body and properly get it finished getting ready for the burial. Because there was a lot of ritual to the Jewish burial rites, which including anointing the body with oils, with sacred perfumes. We do this because we anticipate the day when we too will pass through the veil of death. We will pass through that curtain of death that separates us from eternal life and enter into that eternal life that has been promised to us. In this vigil, we have seven readings from the Old Testament, a reading from the New Testament in the Gospel. And I think there are some who wonder why I choose to do all seven. After all, it's an option to do only four of them. I think that's a mistake. I think that's a mistake to cut down this vigil, because these seven readings recall for us the major events of salvation history. The seven readings in the Old Testament, they lead us from the very creation, literally from the beginning of the Scriptures, in the beginning, all the way through to the promises of our Lord. We see in the first couple of readings how God worked through his chosen people, the Israelites, and later preparing the world for the coming of that Savior. Like I said in the beginning, we see creation coming into the being with special emphasis on the fact that God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We move from there into the establishment of the covenant with Abraham, that promise that he would be the father of all the nations, that great father of the Israelite people, and then through our baptism, our Father as well. And then we see the fulfillment of that covenant through the exodus of the Israelite people from Egypt. We then move into the last four Old Testament readings, which come to us from the prophets. And again, this is preparing the Lord for the preparing the world for the coming of our Lord by reminding us that God will continue to remember his covenant with the Israelite and the Jewish people, that he will never forsake them, never forsake his covenant, despite the fact that they were unfaithful. If we look back at the history of the Israelite and the Jewish nations, there were many times that they were unfaithful to God, and he called them back to him. He remained faithful even when they were unfaithful. And we see this promise that not only will God be faithful to the Old Testament covenants, the old covenants, but that he will give them a new covenant that fulfills the covenant with Abraham, but also includes all the nations and peoples. And then right after that seventh reading, after we hear that promise, we have glory to God in the highest. We chant that ancient hymn of praise to God, glory to God, that the promised Savior has come, that the new covenant has come after all was prepared. And as St. Paul says, we were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. This promised covenant has come. Our salvation has come. Salvation from that sin that has darkened the world. That through baptism, we entered into that covenant. That covenant that was established through the shedding of our Lord's blood on the cross that we remembered yesterday on Good Friday. That covenant that we continue to participate in every time we come forward to receive our Lord in the Holy Communion, in the Eucharist, in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. This celebration that we remembered and celebrated on Holy Thursday just 2 days ago. And then now, tonight, this Easter Vigil, we remember the completion of that covenant, this high point of the year in which we remember our Lord's resurrection from the dead, from the fact that he rose from the grave. Now, I think many people think of Easter Sunday itself, that tomorrow morning is the high point of the year. And that's partially true, because it is the celebration of our Lord's resurrection. But this moment right now, the Easter Vigil, is the high point of the year. And I would argue the highest point of the year is when we do celebrate, we do proclaim that glory to God, that we have reached the point in salvation history that our Lord has risen. And Easter Sunday is second only to this vigil. That is why it is so important. Because tonight we do celebrate our Lord rising from the dead. Our Lord has risen from the dead and bringing salvation to us all. So may we leave here tonight praising our Lord has risen. Alleluia.